Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Just looking at myself here on the screen, you know, I can do TV, you can see yourself. I got a screen up here, I can see myself. I find myself slumping a lot. Should I sit up straight? Should I be back here farther? Should I be up here? Should I be in your face? And I don't know. I was just watching that as we keep popping. My beard's getting back. I'm getting back to normal, getting back to the old me. And I got an email from Chad this morning that Chad was spot on, right on, actually. And I just want to talk about that real quickly. The idea that, man, you know, everything that's going on in America, I got some good stuff to share with you. It's going to be you're going to be glad you tuned in today. I promise you that. In fact, if you want to, you could email somebody right now or go to Facebook, whatever, say, tune in, because we're going to go someplace that, whatever. Get them in here. What's that old line from Love Story? Love means never having to say you're sorry. Remember that? Allie, what was her name? Allie McGraw. Was it Allie McGraw and Ryan O'Neill? Love means never having to say you're sorry. What a big hit that was. Folks, that isn't true. that is a lie. Absolute lie. Love means, how am I going to phrase this? Love means wanting to say you're sorry. That's what love is. If I've done something to hurt my wife, you never have to. What do you mean love means never having to say you're sorry? If I've done something to hurt my wife, I want to say I'm sorry. I want to apologize to her. If I've done something to somebody, I don't care who it is. If I've offended somebody, I want to tell them I'm sorry. It doesn't mean love means never having to say you're sorry. Eric Segal, I think I was from Love Story. What a stupid line. What a stupid line. And listen, my friends, no matter how much they screw down on us, no matter how we step back and we look around at everything that's going on in the world, no matter how we still, I'm talking about the church. It's the church of love means never having to say you're sorry. All the stuff that's going on. Everything. Have you heard any nationwide leader, Christian leader, call out for a day of repentance? Have you heard one? Have you heard anybody say, listen, this Sunday, folks, listen, here's what we're going to do. This Sunday, I'm just as guilty, okay? This Sunday, we're going to, you tune in to my, we're going to live stream. And even though nobody can be here, you tune in here and I'll give you the word for the day. You tune in and we'll give you the word for the day. And we'll just act like we're having church because, by the way, church is always, it's about me. And I know that you need me to be the one to encourage you. And so I'm going to give you some words of encouragement from the Bible in these difficult times we are. And do you think anybody out there is saying, you turn in me and listen, you tune in to our broadcast, and we're going to have a ceremony of sackcloth and ashes. And we're going to cry out to Almighty God for the sins of this nation. 2 Chronicles 7, pull it up there, Jared. 2 Chronicles 7. We're going to cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, we're so sorry about the slaughter of the innocent babies. Lord, we're so sorry. Lord, we're sorry about what we've done to marriage. Lord, we're so sorry for our acceptance and our being comfortable with sin. Lord, we're sorry that we love the things that you hate. Lord, we're so sorry. Lord, we're such a wicked, wicked people in the midst of a wicked, wicked nation. Lord, we're so sorry. Would that sell, you think? You think that would sell? What if the President of the United States, and I don't consider him to be pastor, I think we can't even begin to imagine the pressure that guy's under. I don't know if they've turned him yet. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Everything going on in America is blamed on him. Everything. And he knows things that we don't know. And
is it not going out?
Michelle said it's not going out. Jared, Michelle said the show is not going out on any devices.
At our house.
In my house. Folks, is this going out other places? Can somebody come in and say, well, no, people in the queue can say it. Yeah, but not on YouTube. Okay.
Oh, it's on goodness. Facebook, Coach. I know that. I just shared you all over the place.
Okay, good. Thanks, Alan. Okay, it is on Facebook. Jared's got it going on YouTube now. Okay, I'm sorry.
I can hear it too.
Okay, great, great, great. Folks, listen. There is no heart cry of repentance from the church in America. There is none. Now, listen, don't come on saying, well, Coach, you should have been to our church because we sure did it. I get it. I get it. There are pockets of it. But there is no genuine, general cry for repentance and mercy of God to fall upon our nation. There is none. It gets worse and worse and worse. You can't even get a haircut anymore. Here in Ohio, you can I tell you something? You guys can laugh all you want to. I don't care. I don't care. The Holy Spirit told me yesterday, get a haircut. Something told me to get a haircut yesterday, and I didn't do it. I said, I can get another week out of it, so I get another week out of it. And what did we see yesterday? What happened yesterday about noon? Why, the governor comes out, closes all barbershops. Barbershops. This is in Ohio. I don't know about where it is where you are. And I don't know why you can't see, and we can't see, and we can't understand that somebody is tightening the nuts, the bolts, whatever. Somebody's tightening this down. It's every day. I want to give you fair warning here because I love every one of you. Folks, Friday may be the last paycheck some people get for a long time. You understand that? Do you understand that Friday may be the last paycheck that some people get and they have nothing in their shelves? You understand that? Do you understand that most people are going from ball game to ball game and working to six pack of beer, to sleep, to work into six pack of beer, and they have no idea what's going on? Do you have any idea how many people you know, who you love, who are your neighbors, who have no idea what's going on, who don't understand that we are now going to see within the next, folks, paychecks are getting ready to stop. See, we're focusing on the fact that they're closing the restaurants and they're closing this down and now you can't get a haircut and blah, blah, blah. We're focusing on that. And we say, oh, that's awful. Those people are, man, what are those people going to do for money? But we don't process it to the reality of they're not going to have a paycheck. They're going to get a paycheck. Listen, let's say they get a paycheck Friday. This Friday, they get a paycheck. What happens in 2 weeks? So this is jet lag, boys and girls. This is jet lag. If everything went back to normal today, then in 2 weeks we might have some. In 2 weeks we'd have to stretch it for 2 weeks, but people would begin getting paid again. Folks, that's not what. I'm not doom and glooming. I'm just trying to give you fair warning what's going on. Okay, and I say part of it is because we have. Love means not having to say you're sorry. That's where the American church is. That's where it is. We're not sick. In fact, I could take you to several times in the Old Testament where the Lord says, I'm not even going to listen to you. I don't even want to hear. I will not hear your prayers. Your hands are defiled with blood. Get out of here.
Hey, Coach. Yes. Doesn't that old famous verse about if my people who are called by my name, he says, then I will hear them.
Yep.
He doesn't hear us until we do the repentant part. So if you're out there and you hadn't repented something in your life and you're crying out to God, he ain't hearing till you repent.
So pull that up there, Jared, 2 Chronicles 7. The church in general has not repented, folks. The church in general has not repented. There has been, you know what I think? I don't want to say this because we need some hungry bellies, don't we? We need some empty bellies. This, you know, this might be the mercy of God. This might be the mercy of God. We need some hungry bellies.
But Coach, you got to start with verse 12 and 13 before you get to 14, because God sends pestilences on his own people.
Dale, I'm starting in verse 1. I'm in the first one.
That's good too.
Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, how about that? Solomon, get out of your prayer closets. You can only pray so much. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Let me ask you something. What kind of prayer has the house of God been exhibiting? What type of burnt offering? What type of offering has the church been? And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. I'm going to tell you something, my friends. If we were really a pure, spirit-filled people, we wouldn't even be able to walk in God's house. We shouldn't even be able. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord, don't miss that, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "Oh, he is so good, for his mercy endureth forever." What made them do that? When they saw how the fire came down. And then they fell down upon the pavement. Suppose that pavement back then. That's odd, isn't it? And worshiped him. And then the king of all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Who would that be? Who's the king of all the people? Is he referring to the president? Referring to the pope? Who's the king of all the people? And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep to the king and all of the people dedicated the house of God. This is good because the priests were waiting in their offices. Oh, I could preach there. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. And when David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, all Israel stood up. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of God for the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace and offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. They couldn't even go into the brazen altar. They couldn't even go to where God was really dwelling. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days. He's obeying the law, and all Israel with him, and a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly. 8 days this has gone on, folks. 8 days they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days. The feast 7 days. This wasn't just, "I'm sorry, Lord, forgive us, protect us." And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, glad and merry in their hearts for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David, to Solomon, to Israel, and his people. They went to their tents happy that he had shown mercy. We need mercy. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house, he prosperously effected. But then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I heard your prayer, Solomon." Wow, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great, Lord, to hear our prayer? "And I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice."
Now, Coach, if I may, before you go on right here, everything that you've just read shows how the humbleness and the people's posterity before the Lord, bowing, crouching, praying to the Lord in a true humble means and manner. And God is now responding. We're thinking, oh, the Lord is now going to relieve of us all this. Now begin to read.
Yep. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And he said to him, I heard your prayer, Solomon, and I've chosen this place to myself for a sacrifice. The Lord says obedience is better than sacrifice. He's looking for sacrifice. And this is a famous verse, see, that we all hear. If I shut up the heaven, who? If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I send a bunch of locusts all across Africa to devour the land, or if I send coronavirus among my people, if my people, not the president, although maybe the president's a Christian, not the masses of people, but just see, folks, we have a responsibility. Christians have a responsibility. God is merciful because of his people. He's not merciful because of the heathens and the pagans. He's not merciful because of them. He's merciful because of his people. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. When's the last time you sought the Lord's face? And turn from their wicked ways. If my people will do that, just my people. It's like when I was coaching football. I used to get the guys in the room. I don't know if Coach Norm's listening today, but he can relate to this. And you know, you have a tendency. I'm talking about all of us now. I'm not just a football story. We all have a tendency to look at the other team and how big and strong they are and how good they are, and we'll never beat them. How are we ever going to beat the government? Well, you got any plans for that one, Coach? How are you ever going to beat the government? Or how are we ever going to stop that linebacker? Or they're my goodness, they got the best quarterback. We're never going to be able. How are we going to be able to stop him? How are we going to be able to do that? Well, I would say this, and I would always say it to my people, to our football players. This is exactly what the Lord says. I would say to the football team, as the Lord's saying to the people here, if my people will just block and tackle and not jump off sides and not argue with themselves in the huddle and keep focused on teamwork and keep doing the things that you've been taught and keep a humble heart, we'll be okay at the end of the game. We'll be okay. That's what he's saying here. If those of you who are on my team, if you just do the things I've taught you to do, because really that's all we can do. Can't control the outcome of the game. But if we do these things, we're more likely to win than not. But I can promise you this, if we don't do the, if we don't play as a team, if we don't play as a team, we do get penalties and we do fumble and we do jump off sides and we do fight in the huddle, we're not going to win. We're not going to win. So the only chance we have of winning is to do what? Seek his face, turn from his wicked ways, humble ourselves. Then maybe we'll hear from him. And he'll forgive their sins and he'll heal their land. By the way, I don't think it's an instantaneous healing. What's happening in America today is going to be a long, drawn-out healing process. But we're still not crying to the Lord. We're not crying to the Lord for forgive us. American church, 60 million unborn babies' blood's on our hands. Larry, what did it say? If you cry out to me, I won't hear you. That's in Isaiah 58. Is that where it is, Jared? Isaiah 58, somebody help me. I think it's Isaiah.
Isaiah 115.
Also 59, 1 and 2.
Isaiah 59 says, that's what I was thinking of.
1 and 2.
Isaiah 59. Go there, Jared. Before, folks, this is America today. Behold, the Lord's hand's not shortened. He can still do everything. He can save. And neither is his ear heavy. He can still hear you. He still hears. But your sins have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Why? Your hands are defiled with blood. and your lips are filled with sin. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. Nobody calls for justice. Nor does anybody plead for the truth. They trust in vanity and they speak lies. They figure out ways to do mischief. And they promote sin. Go down to 7, Jared. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their path. By the way, this is his people. Way of peace they don't even know. There's no judgment in their goings, and they have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And because of that, judgment's far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. For we wait for the light, but all we get is darkness. We will look for the brightness, but we get obscurity. We grope like for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We act like we can't see this stuff going on around us. We stumble at noonday as in night, and we are desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and moan like doves. We're getting ready to moan, folks. We look for judgment, but there's none. For salvation, did you see in the $1.5 trillion budget, whatever it is, that $500 billion is going to the people, the rest is going to banks and businesses? For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our sins, we know them. We know what they are. We know what they are. Hi, sweetheart. And in transgressing, what's that? You can come down with me. And in transgressing and lying against the Lord. Do you see that, folks? Lying against the Lord. See that, Reese? In transgressing and lying against the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're lying against the Lord. When the Lord says, don't murder babies, and we say, well, Lord, we have to because the government says we have to. We're lying against the Lord. Departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, and conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Hey, boys and girls, judgment's turned far away. Justice stands far off. Equal justice to her. For truth has fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. And yea, truth faileth. What a word that is. Truth faileth. And he that departs from evil, like little Reethy, makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice, no judgment. We need to repent, folks. We need to repent. Well, yeah, I hear you right now. I say, well, Coach, let's do that right now. Well, this has to be more than just us and our little crew. I call out to the Lord. I repent. Lord, I'm sorry. But the general spirit of repentance is not on America. But let me tell you something. It's coming, boys and girls. Oh, yeah. Nobody can make you cry like the Lord. Nobody can make you cry like the Lord. Reese, there you are. You're pretty. Reese's getting prettier every day. Somebody come on in here. That was a pretty good idea.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
When I preach in front of the Democratic caucus here in Nevada, they come in, you hate Trump. I said, no, I don't like Trump because I disagree with him because he's for the LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, and I shock him with that. Then I say, he needs to change Pride Month to Repentance Month. And boy, do they get even ticked off.
Well, sure they do. But Jeff, listen, the city ain't going to do it because the pastors are doing it. The pastors aren't doing it. We want Donald Trump to end abortion, and the pastors don't want to.
Hey, Coach, would a pastor from behind the pulpit saying, reach out and love that homosexual, you know, put your arms around him and let him know that he's wanted and welcome in this community. Would that be lying against the Lord?
Well, it depends on what gospel you're going from, Larry. I'm going to tell you, Lord hates homosexuality. Lord hates it, and we can't wait to embrace it. Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Coach, what are we going to do if we're driving down the road here shortly and we're having to look at a bunch of blue-hatted United Nations troops, Hussein Obama's army? What are we going to do, Coach?
Well, we laugh about it right now, don't we, brother? But it's looking more and more like that every day. So listen, a couple things. I got something really good I'm going to bring. I didn't mean to go this long. Let me tell you this out of the bottom of my heart because I love you, okay? I love this little girl. You, if you don't have food, I don't know what to tell you. Hear me. We saw the other day that the American financial system has $1.2 trillion in circulation throughout the whole world. $1.2 trillion. Let me ask you right now. How much cash do you have in your house? If they said tomorrow banks are shut, you have any cash? Be wise, my friends. Be wise, my friends. Because no matter what's coming, no matter what's going to look, hey, folks, people aren't going to have jobs. They're not going to have paychecks. They're not going to have paychecks. And go on a bank run, people try to go get money. Folks, there isn't any money in the bank. There isn't any money there. I'm not trying to scare you, Reese. We're prepared.
Hey, Coach.
But you personally need some cash. You need some. Yeah, Jeff.
I heard a business owner say, and they were interviewing him yesterday, he has like 56 restaurants, 26 malls, and all the people he's had to lay off. And he said this statement. He said, come April 1st, a lot of people, even business owners and homeowners, can't pay their rent on April 1st. Then it's going to hit.
Well, I was just having a discussion with somebody yesterday who's a business owner. And I said, hey, don't pay your bills. Don't pay your bill. Because, folks, they're closing down the auto factories. You just saw that. They're shutting down the auto factories. But don't worry. They're going to send everybody $1,000. Oh, whew, good. Whew. Right?
Hey, Coach.
Still didn't suspend payroll deductions, did they? Still didn't do that, did they? Yeah, Alan.
Coach, I tell you what, down here in Central Florida, we can't find ground beef nowhere. I tried to order it from Gordon's Food Service. That's one of my main suppliers with my business. They said, Mr. Dyfer, we cannot order no ground beef indefinitely. We've totally sold out. None in our warehouse. We can't get it.
Folks, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to warn you that I would be prepared for an extended period. Why? Again, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not a fearmonger. I'm not a fearmonger. If they lock down, if they declare martial law in the inner city, if they close down 270 around Columbus, you have any idea what's going to go on inside there in about 3 days? Huh? At what point? Well, I'll let your mind. I'm not doom or gloom. I'm trying to prepare us here. And listen, that's why on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we're having it. I'm calling it a truth inspection. A truth inspection. And I just encourage all of you to try to get some of your friends who now begin to see what's going on. Try to get them to tune in with us on Sunday. We'll have a church service. It's not going to be a church service, and it's not going to be. It's going to be a discussion. It's going to be what we do every day. And I'm going to present a scripture, a couple scriptures, make a comparison, and then we're going to throw it out there on red meat, and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to bring the Lord, the scriptures, into the midst of what's going on, and help people get a better understanding of what's happening, what they need to do. Sunday at 10 o'clock. Please share that with some of your friends. Have them to tune in. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com and tune in as long as we have the internet. Who knows how long that's going to go on, right? Who knows? Hang on a second. I'm sorry. Todd Barham's still in the hospital, man. Pray for Todd. They got his gallbladder out, but they still can't figure out why he's having such strip. So keep him on your prayer list. Go ahead. Was that Randy trying to come in?
Coach, I woke up this morning with this phrase, truth or consequences. And I remember that old show.
Uh-huh.
This is where we're at, Coach. This right now, because of no one's cared about truth, it's right. Showtime. Now there's going to be consequences. This is where we're at.
How come we're not hearing all over the news now about I don't know, the LGBTQ issue and women's rights? How come all that stuff disappeared off of this television screen? Where is all of that stuff and transgenderism and reading story? Where's all that stuff going? Where is all
shaking.
That?
This is a shaking, Coach. This is a shaking. Everyone. It's going
to
be shaking.
I spoke to a doctor friend of mine yesterday who, you know, I'll remain anonymous. And he says nobody has any idea. First of all, again, there aren't any cases. There aren't any cases of this thing. Yet all these draconian steps are coming down, and he's of the same mindset that there's something much, much bigger that's going on. That's what I'm saying. I'm not afraid. Reese, don't be afraid. We're in the Lord's hands. But this is what we've been, this is what we've been saying is going to happen, right? And here we are, and it's happening. It's happening right in front of us. A couple more things.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I finally have knowledge of someone, not that I know, but one of my son's employees, his better half just had a baby last week, and she tested positive for coronavirus yesterday.
Folks, I don't even want to go there, Larry, because I came across some information that says that this coronavirus is very, very serious for pregnant women. Very serious for things, conditions we're not even, this was Jared put in the I want to show you guys just a little clip of this. Please, I'm not fear-mongering, okay? I'm not fear-mongering. I just a lot of information out there, right? Click on the one that says Mike Adams and Alex Jones real quick. And then Mark Trump, get ready, man. Are you in here, Mark? Because I want to dive into this because I think it's really, really important. Sir. All right, buddy. Hang on there a second. Jared, pull that one up where it says Mike Adams. And folks, Jared, then put this in the chat or put this someplace where people can watch it because this is worth watching. I trust Mike Adams, the health ranger. I trust him. I don't believe he's a conspiracy theorist or anything like that. He's a doctor. He knows what's going on. Hey, Jared, if you would, let's just watch a couple minutes of this thing. So this is 20. Jared, go to about the 19-minute mark. And then, folks, we'll put this in the chat so you can watch it later. But this is a tremendous dialogue between Mike. Right? Just start it right there, Jared. Let it run. Let's let it run for a couple minutes.
There's all the things that people need. It looks like those deliveries will continue. However,
what about the reports that crime has suddenly exploded?
Well, it's going to explode in liberal cities again. That's where it's going to be the worst. So this
is Democrats. Yeah, actually.
Absolutely.
That's what it is, like Baltimore and Chicago and L.A. It's all exploding.
No paychecks.
Yes, you know, Governor Abbott today declared a state of disaster for the state of Texas. He probably implies this, but I wish he would have added, and all Texans, please shoot looters. That's what he should have added to that declaration. Now, I don't know if that attitude is going to be everywhere else in the country, but it should be. Anybody who goes around looting other people's stuff deserves to be shot. And that will happen in Texas. So looters will not have a lot of success, especially with the National Guard on the streets. So anybody who tries to go out and steal from other people, you're going to get swept up by the guard or you're going to get shot by some Texas rancher very, very quickly. So, you know, if you're in the country, you're in much better shape right now. If you're in the city, you're in a death zone. And that's a mistake. You might want to get out while you can. If you can't, you better be prepared to hunker down and survive a zombie wave that's coming. That's the truth. Uncensored.
Let's talk about Mike Adams, the providence of this virus.
Folks, listen. Please understand. This is the consequences, not of the virus, but of people not having money. Are you picking that up? Huh? Virus would be bad enough. People aren't going to have money in 2 weeks. They're not going to have money. They're not going to. Can you imagine a month if it goes a month? Am I scaremongering? I'm not trying to fearmonger anybody. I got a smile on my face. I love you, Reese. I got a smile on my face. I'm not happy about it, but it's a consequence. Folks, this is where we apply the Bible to what we see going on. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. If, by the way, it's a big word. If my people, the Lord's the one who stopped it. The Lord's the one who shut off the rain. The Lord's the one who's allowing the pestilence to come. The Lord's allowed to do it, right?
Is that quid pro Joe there or what?
That's quid pro sin. That's quid pro.
That's called, that's, God is conditional, brother. His love is not unconditional. His forgiveness is not unconditional.
Amen. Amen. Get some money out, folks. Get some money out. I don't know how much they'll let you take out, but take out what they'll let you take out. Yes, go ahead.
If there's a mad rush on the bank, that could cause the holiday. You know what I'm saying? Or
listen, they have $1.2 trillion. That's all they have, folks. That is all they have. That's all they have, okay? That's all they have. It's like saying, we got six oranges. We got 30 people who want an orange. Oh, we only got six. We only got six oranges. First six get it. Okay, now listen. I want to shift gears because this is really, really important. I believe it's really important. Jared, pull up this video that says 5G. There's a huge 5G rollout coming at the same time. And Jared, if you can, as you pull that up there, and then Mark Trump was, I talked to Mark about this a little bit. I didn't talk to him. I texted with him yesterday about it. And I know he's been studying this. Jared, make this 1.5. This is an expert. I wish I had more information on it, telling us the dangers of 5G in conjunction with the coronavirus. All right, folks, this is not happening by accident. I don't know the reason, but the coronavirus hits at the same time that 5G is being released. That's why it's so bad in all across Italy and all across France and all across China. They're well advanced on us with the 5G. Let's watch a little bit of this, and then I'm going to bring Trump in. Go ahead, Jared.
Now, I have 10 minutes. I wasn't sure I was going to get to this stage, but I can't help but say something about this whole coronavirus thing, if you want me to. Yes. So, again, when you know Steiner, you have the answers to the test, but you have to then figure out the details. In 1918, after the biggest pandemic, the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, Steiner was asked, what was this all about? And he said, well, viruses are simply excretions of a toxic cell. Viruses are pieces of DNA or RNA with a few other proteins. They butt out from the cell. They happen when the cell is poisoned. They are not the cause of anything. And the first way I would encourage you to think about this is if you are a famous dolphin doctor, right, and you have been studying dolphins in the Arctic Circle for hundreds of years, or at least a long time, and the dolphins were fine, and then they call you up, Fred, all the dolphins or a lot of the dolphins are dying in the Arctic Circle. Can you come and investigate, right? And you have one question to ask. So show of hands, how many of you would say, I want to investigate a dolphin to see the genetic makeup of that dolphin? Nobody, because that's stupid. How many of you would say, I want to see if this dolphin and that dolphin has a virus because it might be contagious and that's why all these dolphins are getting sick? That fellow. How many of you would say, excuse my French here, somebody put some shit in the water here? Like Exxon Valdez? Anybody? Everybody. Because that's what happened. And the cells get poisoned. They try to purify themselves by excreting debris, which we call viruses. If you go to the current theory of viruses called exosomes and the latest head of the NIH giving a talk on the complexity of viruses, you will see this is perfectly in line with the current thinking on what a virus really is. I had a dramatic example of this when I was growing up. Out right outside our house, there was a wetlands, and they were full of frogs, and the frogs kept me up at night, so I taped the windows, and they were, in the spring, they made a big racket. And then over time, the frogs were all gone. How many thinks the frogs had a genetic disease? How many think the frogs had a virus? How many think somebody put DDT into the water? That's what happened. Diseases are poisoning. It's one of the reasons why vaccines, so let me skip that for a minute. So what happened in 1918? There was a huge, in every pandemic in the last 150 years, there was a quantum leap in the electrification of the Earth. In 1918, late fall of 1917, there was the introduction of radio waves around the world. Whenever you expose any biological system to a new electromagnetic field, you poison it, you kill some, and the rest go into a kind of suspended animation so that, interestingly, they live a little bit longer and sicker. And then starts in World War II with the next pandemic with the introduction of radar equipment all over the Earth, blanketing the entire Earth in radar fields. First time humans have ever been exposed to that. In 1968, there was the Hong Kong flu, and it was the first time the Earth has a protective layer in the Van Allen belt, which essentially integrates the cosmic fields from the sun and the earth, from the moon and Jupiter, et cetera, integrates that and essentially distributes that to the living beings of the earth. And we put satellites emitting radioactive frequencies in the Van Allen belt. Within 6 months, we had a new viral pandemic. Why viral? Because the people are poisoned. They excrete toxins. They look like viruses. People think it's a flu epidemic. In the 1918 epidemic, the Boston Health Department decided to investigate the contagiousness of this. So they, believe it or not, took hundreds of people with the flu and they sucked the snot out of their nose and injected it into the healthy people who didn't have the flu. And not one time could they make the next person sick. They did this over and over again, and they were not able to demonstrate contagion. They even did it with horses who apparently got the Spanish flu, and they put bags over their head, and the horses sneezed in the bag, and they put the bag over the next horse, and not one horse got sick. You can read about this in a book called The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, who chronicles all the steps in the electrification of the earth and how within 6 months there was a new flu pandemic all over the world. And when you hear the normal explanations, how did it go from Kansas to South Africa in 2 weeks? So the entire world got the symptoms at the same time, in spite of the fact that the mode of transportation was horseback and boats, and there's no explanation for it. They just say, we don't know how that happened. But when you think about it, with these radio waves and other frequencies that some of you have in your pocket and on your wrist, you can send a signal to Japan and it arrives instantaneously. So any of you who don't believe, there's an electromagnetic field that communicates globally within seconds. Just is not paying attention to this. And I will only finish by pointing out that there has been a dramatic and quantum leap in the last 6 months with the electrification of the Earth. And I'm sure a lot of you know what that is. It's called 5G, where they now have 20,000 radiation-emitting satellites, just like the radiation-emitting thing in your pocket and on your wrist and that you use all the time. That is not compatible with health. I'm sorry to say it. It's not compatible with health. That is a water destructuring device. And for any of you who say, yeah, well, we're not electrical beings, we're just physical matter, then don't bother doing an EKG or an EEG or a nerve conduction test, because we are electrical beings and the chemicals are only the byproduct of those electrical impulses. And I'll finish with, anybody want to make one guess as to where the first completely blanketed 5G city in the world was? Exactly. So when you start thinking about this, we are in an existential crisis here, folks, the likes of which humankind has never seen. And I don't want to go all Old Testament prophet on you, but this is something that is unprecedented. The putting of 100,000 satellites in the very blanket of the earth. And by the way, as I was going to say earlier, this actually has something to do with the vaccine question. And this got brought home to me because about a year ago or so, I had a patient who came in who was totally fine, a surfer and all, and then he broke his... He works as an electrician putting in Wi-Fi systems for very wealthy people. Electricians have a very high mortality rate. But he was fine. And then he breaks his arm and he gets a metal plate put in his arm. 3 months later, he couldn't get out of bed and was total, you know, heart irregularities, just total collapse. The susceptibility has to do with how much metal you have in your body, as well as the quality of the water in your cells. So if you start injecting aluminum in people, they become receptors for absorbing increased electromagnetic fields. And that is a perfect storm for the kind of deterioration of the species, which is what we're now experiencing. And I'm just going to finish with one more thing, which I like to, is a quote from Rudolf Steiner. And by the way, this was around 1917, so it was a different time. In times when there were no electrical currents, when the air was not swarming with electrical influences, we're talking 1917, it was easier to be human. For this reason, in order to be human at all today, it is necessary to expend much stronger spiritual capacities than was necessary a century ago. So I'll just leave you with whatever you can do to increase your spiritual capacities, because it's really damn hard to be a human being these days.
Okay, so folks, one of the things that I don't know if you understood there, the first total rollout of 5G occurred where? In Wuhan. Wuhan. And I'm going to let Mark talk about this, but the point that's being made here is the virus, if it's being spread, if there is such a virus, what is causing the virus? They say, well, it's man-made, a man-made virus, they tell us. Okay, but what impact does 5G have on this virus? That's going to turn to the semi-expert, I guess. Mark, what's up, Trump? By the way, Jared, put that link in here. I know other people are going to want to share that. We should share that. What's the question he asked is, what's making us sick? Instead of just saying, oh, it's a virus, what's making us sick? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, a couple notes. Poisoning, he mentioned poisoning. Who's heard of radiation poison. Why do they call it poisoning? You're getting a high dose of radiation that burns you, but they call it radiation poisoning. It's because it's a cellular change. It's a deformation. It causes your cell walls to vibrate and break down. So if you heard his description, chemotherapy causes a cancer cell to dissolve on the outside, and it collapses, and your body gets rid of it. Sometimes it makes your gallbladder go out. Sometimes it makes your organs fail, getting rid of those toxins that are broke down. He said another thing, electrification of the earth. Our first major electrification of the earth was Noah's time. We lived 1,000 years before Noah. Waters fell from the sky. Day two, waters were separated from the waters. There was waters above the waters, waters below, until the time of Noah. So the first electrification of the earth, the waters fell, and guess what we received? Cosmic radiation. Mm. That was, we were being protected. So that's judgment. Okay, I've been saying this, and this is how it all ties in from another expert. Judgment occurred with radiation. Satan has learned it, prince of the power of the air. And I'll say again, why aren't all the old frequencies removed? Because it's vibrating the water in our bodies. It's degenerating water function, which is not allowing us to process anything. Look up dehydration. That's what's happening. So that's why all these water, water, water things are so important to our bodies. It's because radiation is consuming our cells.
When I go into the dentist, Mark, and they want to take x-rays, they lay this thing over the top of me, this metal thing over the top of me, and I just did a little picture in my mouth, just a little thing. And I said, well, why are you laying that over me? And she says, well, because radiation is dangerous.
100 milliseconds, 0.1 seconds burst, or sometimes, you know, 50 thousandths of a second. They're going to cover you up. You're getting full dose of your phone all the time, continuous, not 20 milliseconds, 50 milliseconds. You know, this is just, it's amazing, Coach, that this occurred and you sent that, and it all ties together. It's biblical radiation. And how do we stop it? We're covered by the blood.
Amen.
Look, what Satan's doing with these viruses and the, you know, Paulie sent me something about a new film that we're going to be injected with in the form of a vaccination that'll basically attach to our DNA. Okay? And it'll be communicating with us, and it's bidirectional communication, which means they can write data to us. Okay? So that'll be our new identities and things like that. But we're covered by the blood. So how do you – this is what I'm faced with this virus and everything that I've learned and everything that you guys are learning too. How do you be fearful and walk in faith? They're opposite things completely. I walk out there and see people fearful, but I'm not. And I minister to them, and there's a great opportunity. We heard from Mike Heath on his show about the Romans who were all dying of plague. And it was the Christians who went in there and served those Romans until they died of the same plague.
Yep, yep.
So where are we? Are we Christian? Are we walking without fear? You know, and that's really what I'm seeing here, Coach.
Well, Mark, because listen, think about this. The Lord just showed me this. Boy, oh boy. Fear is like radiation. Fear comes from the outside in, my friends. Fear is spiritual radiation. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Amen, you know, Coach.
Huh?
Amen. Oh, amen. That's a perfect way to look at it.
And are they radiating us with fear or what? Oh, my goodness. Every time you turn something on, it's about the virus, 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 death, 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 radiation, radiation. So it's significant, folks. There's radio waves going through us. There's, oh my goodness, all the many different types of 2G, 5G, radio waves, TV waves, short waves, sound, woo, something's happening here. Somebody else, come on in. We got about 10 minutes, looks like, 9 minutes. Come on in.
Coach,
I wish I could.
This is my testimony, Coach, and I've said it before. I'm going to say it again because I believe it with all my heart. When I turned off my television, when I turned off the radio, I'm telling you, I didn't know these things, anything about frequencies and radio waves and radiation. But my spiritual life changed. It changed, Coach. No wonder. I mean, yep. Put this no together, wonder. Everybody. This is get out of the system.
All right,
walk this out if we remain like the world. You can't walk in faith. You have to get out of this system to be able to do that.
Randy, I want to do something here. Everybody watching this show right now, we worry about whether there's a delay. So, well, wow, there's a delay. Randy, you sitting right there? I'm going to send you a text, Randy, on my phone, and I want you to tell people when you receive it, okay? Are you there? Let me find your name here, Randy. Think about this, folks. Like the guy in the video said, instantaneous, man, instantaneous. This will hit Randy instantaneously. Hang on, there it is. Okay, Randy, I'm going to send it. I'm going to say, okay, now, folks, I'm sending it now. Randy, you tell me the second you get it. Where are you, Randy? You're in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
And I'm in my basement in Ohio. Here we go.
Got it.
Ah! How's that happen, folks? How does that happen?
That's the rate of the virus spread.
That's the rate. Oh, my goodness. Think of that, folks. Think of that. Something's happening here.
Now, what Randy said, if you take it to the physical, the science, the TV produces light with liquid crystals. The liquid crystals is a liquid film that you apply radiation to, and it makes what you see on the screen. Those frequencies go into your eye, Coach. What are your eyes in the biblical terms? The gateways.
Gateway of the soul.
All right. So what you have is a frequency going in your eye. So you then needs to process that in your brain and discernment. So whatever you're taking in through your eyes, which God says are the gateways to your soul, by the way, not your ears, not your eyes. So just saying, that ties in with what Randy's saying in his life changed. It's frequencies.
Hey, Mark, I was just talking to one of my elders. He heard on the radio they were talking about already developing 6G network. Have you heard anything?
Yes. Yes, and it's much more invasive. And it's probably going to be what it falls back to as the cure. So, you know, there's a lot going on. You know, we need to have a whole other show. But
this is why, folks, listen. This is why Sunday morning is going to be so big, okay? Not big. I don't mean big. So important. It will be an opportunity for you to introduce some of your people, your friends, to some truth. We're going to do Sunday morning what we're doing right here, right now. And those people, their eyes are going to open up. They're going to say, oh, my goodness, I never thought of that. Right? We're going to let the Holy Spirit guide them into all truth. And I'm not trying to build a mega show here. Come on, you know better than that. It's going to help you begin to build a network of woke people around you. That's why I think this is so important. 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, like it's right now, 5 minutes till 8 where I am. Look at your clock. So figure out that we're going to start at 10 o'clock. What time will that be your time? That's what we're going to do. We're going to go for an hour, and it's going to be a show just like this. And what was the name that I gave it? Truth Inspection. We're going to do a truth inspection. Not making light of the coronavirus. What did the guy say a virus was? Why, it was just broken down DNA, broken down cells. That's all it is. Traveling at the speed of a message from me and to Randy. Robert, go ahead if you're ready there, man. March, we're 2 days from spring. Thank God this is all happening as the weather's getting warmer. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, you said thank God. That's exactly what this is all about, March 19th. It's giving thanks. The first, the quote, it says, it seems so foolish to please men who are dead in sin, and who cares less for me, rather than to live for him, Jesus, who conquered sin and died for me.
Amen on that one.
Here's a recital of thanksgiving by the people of God. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, says the psalmist, and proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. Give thanks to him who alone does great wonders. We give thanks to you, O God, for your name is near.
Amen.
And we glory in your holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. For the righteous man will be glad in the Lord. All the upright
in the Lord.
That's true. He's the rock. All the upright in heart will glory. God, be upright. Repent. Repentance. That's what you said before. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. You heal the brokenhearted, and you bind up their wounds. You change a wilderness into a pool of water, and a dry land into springs of water. You lead me beside quiet waters. You preserve the souls of your godly ones and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. You favor those who fear you, those who wait for your loving kindness. You preserve the souls of your godly ones. It's amazing, all these conditions here. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down and loves the righteous. You set the prisoners free. You surround your people as the mountains surround Jerusalem from this time forth and forever. How blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord takes pleasure in his people and will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. No good thing do you withhold from those who walk uprightly.
Amen.
All these conditions for the blessings. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you cover my head in the day of battle. You have given food to those who fear you. You have led forth your own people like sheep and guide them in the wilderness like a flock. Mm-hmm. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. Mm-hmm. But those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You lead your people through the wilderness, for your loving kindness is everlasting, everlasting to those who fear you, and your righteousness to children's children, to those who keep your covenant and remember your precepts to do them. You have made known to your people the power of your works. You have made me glad by what you have done. You have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Read this and be thankful. Recite this and be triumphant.
Amen. Jared, real quickly, good word, Robert. Jared, pull up. Something's happening here. Buffalo Springfield. Real quickly, Jared, if you can, on YouTube. Something's happening here. Buffalo Springfield. Let's kind of finish up on this today. Folks, just get some money. Get some money out. Make sure you got some food. People aren't going to get paychecks. Come on, man. Come on. Do the one. Yeah, best one's him down there, Jared. That's all right. Go ahead. Yeah, that's the best one.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Everybody look what's going down. God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow.